the first round-the-world gyroplane flight will be resumed. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to the Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. I'm very pleased to have as my guest Norman Surplus, who is an energy executive and cancer survivor from Ireland who embarked in late March on a quest to become the first person to fly a gyroplane around the world, the only class of powered aircraft in which it had not yet been done. Norm made some remarkable progress in the early legs of his journey, but then ran into some tough luck in Thailand, and we'll talk about that. And on Norm's blog on Monday the 17th, he revealed that repairs are going to be made and the journey will continue. First of all, Norm, thanks for taking some time to join us today and tell us a little bit about how the connection was formed between your survival of cancer and your decision to take on this journey.
Well, good morning from Thailand. Yes, I started this planning for this trip about 2 years ago. And prior to that, I had had a bite of bile cancer in 2003. And while I was recovering from that surgery and chemotherapy, I saw a program where I was reminded of this type of aircraft, very unusual type of aircraft. And I resolved at that time to think, well, if I get through this this cancer episode, I would quite like to learn to fly. I'd never flown before. And so that's what I resolved to do. 2 years, 18 months, 2 years after that, I did, in fact, learn how to fly this type of aircraft. And now, all these years later, I'm flying it around the world, or attempting to. I've flown over 14 countries, and it's been great. I mean, it's been a great expedition. We've seen lots of different cultures and types of countryside to fly over, much different than my home turf in Ireland. But it's been a great experience, and I took about 6 weeks to get to Thailand, which is where I am just now.
All right, let's talk about the machine. I think people who decide to fly gyroplanes are somewhat of a unique breed. What was it about the machine that appealed to you, and how did you come to select the MT-03 as the machine, first of all, that you'd fly as your own personal aircraft, and second, as a good candidate for a round-the-world trip?
Well, the autogyro really did appeal to me initially because it was something unusual. It wasn't a run-of-the-mill type aircraft. And when I started to research the aircraft, its flight envelope is such that it's very, very versatile. The first autogyro flew in 1923, which is only 20 years after the Wright brothers. And yet, in all that time, 87 years later, we find it's the only type of aircraft that's never flown around the world. And so there was various sort of factors there that I thought, well, it really does deserve its place. I suppose whenever the helicopter was evolved out of the autogyro, it sort of took a back seat and was a little bit forgotten about in the mainstream aviation. But it's got a really useful role to play in the future again, not least because they're now being produced in factories again. The MT-03 is a factory-built German-built aircraft, and it's finished off by Rotorsport UK in the UK. They're relatively fuel efficient. They burn about maybe a third of the fuel that a similar two-seat helicopter would use. And so there could really be some good commercial applications for them, traffic surveys and aerial observation work, that sort of thing. One of the ways of proving that is to fly it around the world.
Norm, I have to observe there was one day recently when your MT-03 required a little longer takeoff distance and turned out to be available. Let's talk about that after the break. Norman Surplus is my guest. We'll be back in a moment. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin Wass GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're gonna fly in the soup, you gotta have an opener. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Plack, talking with Norman Surplus, an Irish energy company executive and colon cancer survivor who's been forced into a delay in his attempt to become the first gyroplane pilot to circumnavigate the globe. Norm, notwithstanding a solid machine with a turbocharged engine, I suspect you knew that there'd be times you'd be operating near the limit of the MT-03's performance. Tell us about that unfortunate day in Thailand a couple of weeks ago.
Well, basically, it was a combination of factors that conspired against me, as often the case in these things. The day was very hot. It was very hot air. And the aircraft I was getting ready to fly on the next sector, so it was quite heavy with extra fuel that I carry on the back seat when I'm flying long legs. I have a spare fuel tank that can be plumbed into the fuel system. And the third factor really was that we had a very fickle sort of crosswind, which was favoring one runway, and then it was favoring the other runway, and back and forth. So on takeoff, I had elected to take off on 1-4, which was everybody thought was the correct runway at that point. But as I rolled down the runway, I just wasn't getting the lift that is normally there. And at the point of climbing out of the airfield, then I think most likely is that the winds did veer around again. And I was presented with a problem then, because at the end of the runway, there were pylons, power lines to avoid, but I wasn't out climbing the power line. And so I couldn't continue straight ahead to my right, which would have been sort of up into the wind, into the crosswind. There was a large grove of coconut palms, and obviously you couldn't fly into that lot. And so the least worst case, if you like, was to turn left, which was slightly downwind, but it was to fly out across a lake, a very shallow lake, which should have been okay. Would have given me a longer climb out. But I think as well, as I came across the threshold of the lake, then the relatively colder air over the lake compared to the hot rising air over the ground, I experienced some sink, localized sink over the lake, and in effect, I was just losing height. And so it turned out then I was really at the end. I was just a passenger. The aircraft was no longer staying up in the very hot air, and so then just landed. I had to make a forced ditching into about 2 to 3 feet of water. Subsequently, because I was behind the drag curve, so I wasn't really didn't have the full authority of the rotor to play with, and to cushion the landing in some way, then the aircraft then was able to ground loop, water loop, if you like, So I ended up, the aircraft was upside down in the water. To get out of the aircraft, it was very much just like getting out of a canoe, a capsized canoe, because it's an open cockpit anyway. And so it was basically just a case of undoing the straps and rolling out of the aircraft, and quickly getting your head above the water, as it were. So it wasn't very interesting. I never crashed an aircraft before, it was very quick to happen. But it was a fairly uneventful sort of escape, if you like.
Let me just wrap this up by saying it's fortunate in a number of ways that you had this early practice in being upbeat. It's also fortunate that you happened to select an aircraft that has a frame made of stainless steel, which was somewhat controversial, I know, early on for the MT series in engineering circles, but obviously is a big advantage if you have to recover it from a lake. We will watch with great interest as the repairs are made and look forward to talking to you again as you resume your journey. How quickly do you think that'll happen?
Well, as I say, hopefully if the repairs go as planned, it should be within the next 2 to 3 weeks. And then we'll be early June. We'll be setting off again, heading down to Malaysia, and then back up through the Philippines, Taiwan, Japan, Russia, and then across to Alaska, and then down through the coast to coast across America, up into Canada again, Greenland, Iceland, past the big volcano, hopefully, Faroe Islands, and then down into Scotland, and then back home to Ireland.
Well, be very careful on that Atlantic crossing because we know the water is a little more chilly there.
Yes. Yes, I think so.
Well, Norman, thanks for taking some time out to talk to us today. We do wish you well, and we'll follow with great interest the rest of your journey, and take care.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
The registration on the MT-03 is GYROX, Gyrox, and Norman Surplus maintains a blog at www.gyroxgoesglobal.com. where you can follow the rest of the adventure and make a donation to the fight against colon cancer. You can read details of the repairs now planned to the MT-03, which will involve welding in a new section of the mast. The spontaneous and inspiring help from members of a Thai flying club, which helped salvage Norm's machine after its splashdown, has returned an upbeat feeling to this story, after merciless gouging on landing fees and other costs at some of his stops along the way. Another big challenge comes in a few weeks. Russia has seized on the opportunity of Norm's passing to require he carry a government-approved Russian-speaking official guide in the back seat instead of his ferry tank, with an accompanying fee of $40,000 to $50,000. That one still hasn't been finally resolved, but it's interesting that the hardest part of making a flight like this is not the technical challenges so much as the political ones. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.